Good people of Earth, I call your attention to the ever-expanding zombie takeout. What's up? Welcome to episode 173 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And yes, I'm still under the weather. Hopefully my voice will hold out and I won't have to cough up a lung every 5 minutes this week.
You made it through well last week, but I think you sounded actually a little better last week than you do this week.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyway, enough about that. Before we get to this week's movie, some listeners submitted. This is from Jen Miller in reference to episode 171, our review of Sharknado. She said, "Finally listened to this. Awesome. And I'll add, near the end, you guys mentioned how the tornadoes themselves didn't do any damage, just the sharks and flooding. Well, obviously, the sharks had a neutralizing effect on the tornado, so I say we put sharks in places with high tornado activity, and just for good measure, strap dynamite to their backs. You're welcome, Oklahoma." I added, of course, the obligatory, you know, put lasers on their heads as well.
Oh, sharks with lasers.
I had to go for the Austin Powers reference if we're bringing up sharks. Speaking of Sharknado, and I posted a story about this on our Facebook and I think our Google Plus page a few days ago. There's going to be a midnight showing in various theaters across the country on August 2nd. That's this coming Friday, the day after this airs, or this episode goes up. There's an article there on the Facebook and Google Plus pages. I'm also putting it in the show notes for this episode that will give you a list of theaters that it's playing at if there's one in your area and you want to go.
Are they calling this a Sharknado Summit?
I don't get it. Another one tonight went over my head.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
I thought you were going there. I just wasn't sure how it connected. NATO. Okay.
Yeah.
And somebody else has made the NATO joke before this, I saw, and it still didn't. Anyway.
Okay.
On to some news. We got possible good news, possible bad news. I'll start with the good news. Knights of Badassdom with Peter Dinklage, Ryan Kwatten, finds distribution. This is from Shock Till You Drop. Entertainment One has acquired the North American distribution rights to Knights of Badassdom, starring Peter Dinklage, Ryan Kwatten, Steve Zahn, and Summer Glau. The distributor is planning a day-and-date rollout in theaters and VOD, with the release date to be announced. This is the movie about the LARPers who end up having to fight real monsters.
Nice.
It's been on the shelf for like 2 years, and it's been re-edited. In fact, I think the director was fired at some point.
Oh, wow.
So that doesn't bode well, but it's Peter Dinklage and Summer Glau and possible Summer Glau fight scenes. So
well, there you go.
That might be enough.
I think it could be.
Hopefully. And now on to the possible bad news. The Butterfly Effect gets a reboot for reasons we can't understand. This is from IO9. It's been 9 years since Ashton Kutcher seized himself back into his own past, and now the original movie creators of The Butterfly Effect are ready to reboot. Variety's reporting that the original production companies, Film Engine and Bendersping, are developing a Butterfly Effect remake. Half of the screenwriting duo, Eric Bress, is back on board to reboot the script. The movie is about a boy who travels back in time to right the wrongs of the future, which fucks everything up even more. Did you ever see the original?
Oh, yes, I'm a fan of the original.
You like the original, okay.
Yes.
I wasn't crazy about it. I think the ending kind of ruined it for me.
I think, from what I understand, I've heard the ending was altered from how they originally wanted to do it.
Oh.
And if they do this original ending, I would so be there.
And what was the original ending?
The original ending is he winds up going back to himself as a fetus. And kills himself in the womb.
Okay, there was a reference to that. That's the one I remember seeing. What was the ending?
No, they never made that. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay, maybe I've heard that enough that it's changed my memory. What was the ending in the
ending that they did was that he just winds up scaring her off as, you know, a kid. and they have nothing to do with each other,
Oh, right. Yeah,
and they
that's.
pass each other on the street kind of as
Yeah,
strangers, and
that's what I didn't like about it. Yes,
they
it
give a
was.
pause, but then they walk away from each
Yeah,
other.
okay. That's the ending that turned me off of it, right? I think I've heard about the fetus ending enough times that it kind of rewrote my memory.
Jesus, the fetus ending. I think it would be a masterpiece if
Oh,
they had
yeah.
they ended it with the fetus ending. Are you quite serious?
I mean, I'm not a big Ashton Kutcher fan outside of comedy, but
Yeah.
this one I like, so up until that ending. So I am actually curious to see what they do with it. And obviously it's not going to be Ashton Kutcher again if it's a reboot.
I think just the whole story of trying to go back and fix things in the past, using time travel for that in your own personal life, I just think really resonates with me. And
You were a big Quantum Leap fan, I'm guessing.
of course, Quantum Leap, Voyager, all of them, And the fact, of course, like we discussed with Primer, the more you go back and handle it, the more you're going to fuck things up. It's
That
like
was the great
plastic
thing
surgery.
about the original, is it was about the butterfly effect. It was you
Yes.
change one thing and who knows what else you're going to change.
Exactly.
And he decided, well, depending on the version, he decides that just taking himself out of the equation one way or the other was the best solution.
Yeah, he was left with no choice. No matter what he did, it just, yeah, things kept getting worse and worse.
And hopefully Ethan Suplee will be back for the remake at least. I mean, he's a little older, but hopefully he'll make an appearance. Because he was one of the best parts of the original.
Yeah.
As he is in just about everything he does. And on to this week's movie, which is from 1964, Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster. And for those who might correct me, it was Ghidorah originally. When they brought it over to the US, it was Ghidra. So I'm going with
Okay.
the original pronunciation, which was on the version I watched, Ghidorah. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Tokyo. At least it wasn't us this time.
Yeah, a bomb of a completely different nature here, huh? But anyway, we have a wow, what is it that we have in this?
Meteor strike.
Yes, we have meteor strikes at the beginning. We have scientists who are, oh look, it's a rock. We have this princess who is on her way to I guess whatever part of Japan we happen to be in here, and there's an assassination plot against her. But right before the assassination attempt happens, which is of course blowing up the airplane she's on, she gets possessed by Martians, or a Martian, I should say, and jumps out of the plane. Honestly, in my book, that is where the plot should have began, but that's another story.
It was a little slow at the beginning, yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway, that's an understatement of the year. So then we also have this plucky journalist trying to get the story of what's going on with this Martian woman, and she happens to be the sister of the person who has to look after the princess when she arrives, but she never does because of that. But he still feels obliged to protect her. When he sees a picture of the Martian woman, he immediately realizes from the three photographs he has that this must be the princess that he used to protect.
Should be mentioned that the princess, after she jumped, somehow survived and was basically addressing crowds as this, what would you call it? With a prophecy of,
Yes.
the end of the world, so to speak, or the end of
Yes.
to Japan at least,
So,
and claiming she's from Mars.
after all of this, I'll spoil my what did I learn today now. No, I'll leave it later. We finally get what I'd signed up for on this, the guys in the rubber suits.
And for me, that's kind of where the plot disappeared.
Thank God.
Well, I think it's safe to say, once the guys in the rubber suits show up, hilarity ensues.
Yeah, well, I'll explain a little bit of that.
Well, yeah,
We
because we
have
do have quite the ensemble this time.
right. It's an ensemble this time, because obviously this is a little later in the series. Godzilla and Rodan are fighting each other, while this new monster that has come from space,
The meteor strike was his egg.
three different names pretty much for him, right? Ghidorah, Ghidra, or Monster X, as he's later known.
Interesting.
Yeah, in the sequel to this, that's what they refer to him as. But he is on his way to cause death and destruction. They, of course, have, and this is going to lose some brainage for this, for having these this in this movie alone, the Mothra fairies.
I don't know, it added a nice level of absurdity for me.
They summon Mothra to, who has defeated Godzilla in the past, because this is the sequel from that, and he tries to talk them into joining forces, into fighting Ghidra, and
He doesn't really try to talk them into
oh yeah, they have a conversation, didn't you?
it. He just kind of spits on them and tries to get their attention.
Well, yeah, but they actually have a conversation, and the Mothra fairies translate what's
Oh,
happening, and
that's right. I forgot that scene.
they have a conversation.
Yes.
They have a conversation.
Giant
And then
monsters having a
I'll go,
conversation.
we'll go with hilarity ensues from
Yeah.
there.
Should be mentioned that the Mothra fairies summon him with a musical number.
Well, of course. What else are the Mothra
Yeah.
fairies gonna do? As soon as I saw them, I was just like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I was not happy to see them again.
Should be mentioned that this is the film that turned Godzilla from a villain to a hero.
Is that so?
This is the first one where he was trying to defend Japan.
Did he fight Rodan before this?
That
Like,
was on
was.
Wikipedia. Apparently, the first villain that wasn't Godzilla in these movies was Ghidorah. And of course, this was the first movie with Ghidorah.
Wow. All right. So, I'm wondering, it's been a long time since I've seen him in Rodan. If were they just neutral monsters fighting each other? I mean,
Well, I think they were probably both villains because they were destroying Japan.
yeah.
They were just going at each other in the process. Now, I'm not that familiar with the franchise. Aside from, of course, the first one, which we reviewed a while ago, and this one, I've only seen bits and pieces here and there. I'll start off with something good. The thing I love about these movies, the dramatic music and the sound effects.
Yeah, the sound effects are very interesting.
I think if modern monsters had these kind of effects or kind of sounds, they'd be a lot more scary.
Well, I don't know about scary.
There's just something visceral about them, but probably because it was done in 64.
The keyboard sound for Ghidra is pretty hilarious, I thought.
Well, yeah, Geeter's another story, but some of the more animal-sounding noises I loved.
But I realize that as children, we wisely did not tune into these movies until it got to the good part,
See,
which is the people in the rubber fucking suits fighting each other very awkwardly.
I liked that they attempted a plot. That's the
Oh
Michael
no.
Bay could learn from this. Yes,
No.
granted, all anybody cared about was the giant monsters beating on each other, but he gave you a plot.
Oh, I wish he could take it back.
I was enjoying it. I mean, yeah, it was a bit slow, but in the beginning, until the meteor strike, but I liked it.
I had to finish watching this today because, like, 45 minutes into this last night, I was stone cold asleep.
See, I nodded off a bit too, but that was during the giant monster fight. That's kind of where it lost me.
But that was the best. That's always the best part of these movies. That's why they're called monster movies,
Yes, yes, yes.
not bullshit intrigue that really had no bearing on the actual plot of the movie
Yeah.
whatsoever.
I think maybe it's because I didn't grow up on them. I'm coming into these as an adult, and it's just kind of laughable. Now,
Of course, that's the point, though.
rubber suits aside, I think a lot of the effects were really good for the time.
Oh yeah.
The meteor stuff was great for the time.
Yeah.
And it was really just the close-ups on the monsters that bugged me.
Oh my God.
Wide shots were great.
And the way they fought too
Yeah,
was
well,
just
guys in extremely restrictive rubber suits.
so hilariously bad.
Yeah. I think a part of the problem with a plot per se is the fact that Netflix only has the dubbed version.
It's the first dubbed movie I've seen in a long time, I think.
The voice acting in part, some of it was okay, some of it was very, very iffy.
From what I've seen of dubbed movies, though, this wasn't that bad. I mean, because I've seen some really bad
Oh,
ones,
so
but
I'm an anime geek. I've seen some very bad dubs. Have you ever gone back and watched Star Blazer as an adult? The dub was hideous. Especially for the captain. But I've actually been watching a lot of subtitled anime lately, and so I was hoping to get the subtitled version because I'm kind of, in that headspace now. But no, it's just the dub, and I think that took away from a lot of the enjoyment of it for me in terms of the stuff before the rubber monsters, who didn't show up until a half hour in, incidentally.
Oh my
We first
God.
saw Rodan at about the 30-minute mark, and he was the first to show up.
Well, they gave you little teases. I think it was actually 40 minutes in where you finally saw something. They didn't just, pose a little bit.
I have it in my notes. 40 minutes is when Ghidorah actually hatches. 45 minutes. Godzilla shows up at 40 minutes. Ghidorah hatches at 45 minutes.
This doesn't really become a movie until Godzilla shows up. Apparently, I apparently fell right asleep before he showed up. Right before.
And back to the dubbing. At the beginning, a scientist refers to the Martians who are controlling Ghidorah. Actually, not controlling. He kind of took out Mars before this. I think he was originally from Mars. Whatever the story was. He refers to them as the saucer people. This had to be a translator issue. Couldn't they have just said aliens? Aliens were a thing in 64.
Oh, who knows? Of course they were. I mean, come on, War of the Worlds was how many years
Well,
before
yes.
this even?
Extraterrestrials have been in fiction for over 100 years. But the term alien, meaning someone from another planet, I think it was in use in 64.
Oh, it had to have been.
So I think they could have said that, regardless of what the literal translation was. I think maybe saucer people could have been a literal translation. And I loved, that some of the lines clearly had to be overwritten because the mouths were still moving. Things were restated 3 or 4 times because the actor's mouth was still moving because it just takes longer to say that in Japanese than it does in English. Another thing I got a kick out of were the costumes for the villains.
Wait a minute, the killers.
Killers. Not really not the villains because Ghidorah is the villain, but the
No, they were always addressed as the
killers.
killers.
This, I guess you could say, terrorist group trying to kill the princess. Kind of reminded me of the King from the BK commercials.
Now that you mentioned it, they never got back to the person behind the plot.
No. He
That
shows up about
never
halfway
went
through
anywhere.
and kind of chews out one of his underlings, and that's it. They kind of forgot about them once the giant monster showed up.
The whole plot, subplot, was completely worthless.
I was kind of pulled in by it. Granted, it was kind of in a B movie way,
It was seriously we only really have like 20 minutes of material. We need to burn a whole hour to make a film, though.
Pretty much.
I'd have to say, this could be one of the most blatant examples of that we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And there were some very comedic moments in that. Like the fact that only a few of the characters had Asian accents.
And it was funny because, I watched a little bit of this with my wife last night, and she said, "Oh, you think that's real?" And I was thinking, like, well, it kind of have to be, I think. I don't think that would be a positive for American audiences, at least, especially in '64, of somebody having a foreign accent.
Right, which is why most of them were American or British.
I was just thinking of that earlier today, that like, when did that become a positive thing?
Good
A
question.
bonus.
Probably sometime in the 70s, that's when the whole realism thing took over.
Somewhere along the way that it became, an intriguing thing of somebody with a foreign accent, as opposed to the take her jabs kind of thing.
But it was just odd that a few random ones had Asian accents. It just didn't make, and there was no
I think there were some
consistency to it.
British accents too.
Well, British, I don't really notice in a case like this. That might as well be American. They're Western. But the Asian accents, you would think it would at least be some consistency. Maybe they would be racist and make them the villains.
Are you saying, damn whiteys, they sound all alike?
I'm saying in an audience of this, at this time, wouldn't have blinked an eye at a British accent in this movie.
That could
They
be
would
the
have blinked an eye at an Asian accent.
racist thing said on this show, and I mentioned the title Gay Niggers from Outer Space last week.
Yes, you did. I seriously thought about cutting that, by the way. Now, back to the movie. There are a couple of other comedic moments. There's this group of geologists who go looking for the meteorite, and they get near it, or they actually find the point where it struck a mountain,
Right.
and their compasses all start pointing to it,
Yes.
and they can't figure out why.
They quite haven't got the whole principles of magnetics
It points to
on a
magnets.
compass.
And no, okay, it's a meteorite. It's very logical that it could be magnetic.
Right.
However, we then find out it's an egg.
Yeah.
How is an egg magnetic? I'm nitpicking the science in a Godzilla movie. Move on.
Yeah, let's not think about that.
Then we get to the Mothra scene, or the scene with the Mothra fairies. Probably my favorite part. Just in its absurdity. Because I never realized that the Mothra twins were like 8 inches tall.
Yeah.
I thought they were full size. I've only, like I said, seen bits and pieces. There's a full-on musical number
Oh
with an
yeah.
audience.
That is what the Mothra fairies do. They sing.
And apparently they're on some talk show, and Mothra is treated as a celebrity.
Because he defeated Godzilla.
Very meta for this time. Because if you think about it, these characters were actual celebrities in a, of a sort.
Well, and the whole allegory, of course, of, there's an outside threat. And they need, and yet they want to fight each other instead of joining forces to, save humanity, even though, as they point out, humans have never been good to them.
Also, Caterpillar Mothra. Creepy as hell.
Yes.
I mean, Mothra creeps me out a bit because I have issues with insects, but the larval Mothra was just disturbing.
And what a useless fucking creature that is. I mean, how is that supposed to do anything to something that can fly?
I play a lot of RPGs, MMORPGs specifically, and
Okay.
there are always hunter classes, particularly in WoW, which is my main game. And butterflies and moths are possible pets for these hunters.
Yeah.
They have the worst abilities.
Well,
Mostly
yeah.
dealing with some kind of dust that they put out or a song. So yeah, nobody has come up with a cool ability or attack for a moth or a butterfly or anything of that nature.
I mean, it had some sort of killer jizz sort of thing
Oh
that
yeah,
it.
the spit, I mean, he spit on their heads.
Oh, spit!
Was it
That
spit?
probably
Maybe it
is.
was a web? I
That
don't know.
probably was it. You're right.
I
That's
I'm
better
thinking
than what I thought it
maybe it
was.
was some kind of acid, who knows?
It was the 1960s.
And well, if you think about the Mothra twins, acid kind of makes sense there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you had to be dropping to come up with that.
And things like the musical number and the costuming on the villains, on the killers, it just seemed like
Ridiculous.
they're trying to be deliberately weird.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not just, some insane idea that they had that they thought was going to be really cool. They were trying to be out there and bizarre.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. In a movie that I expected to just be straightforward monsters beating on each other. But they made it kind of interesting.
That they did not do.
For me, it was. Also, there was another scene where they were talking about how the princess could have survived jumping from a plane. And the two cops are discussing it, and one of them says, "I think I know somebody who might know why." And it cuts to the scientist explaining it, And I think he was actually talking directly to the audience.
Pretty close to it, yeah.
Because
If
there's
not.
no scene of them walking into his office and having a discussion with him. It just, the cop says, "I think I know, might know somebody." It cuts straight to the scientist's office. He looks straight into the camera and says this nonsense about how she jumped into other dimensions. He was actually talking to the audience.
Because the
Love
audience
that.
needed an explanation as to why the fuck this woman survived jumping off a
Of
plane.
course.
And honestly, if they were to do a remake of this of some sort, start at the scene where she's on the plane and just jumping out.
Well, they needed to explain who she was, at least.
You would have figured out that she was royalty from the servant she had,
True.
and it would have left so many questions to the audience member, right?
True,
Like,
true.
what possessed her to jump out of the plane? Did she survive? Why did the plane blow up?
Yeah, good point, good point.
Instead,
All they really had at the beginning was the meteor strike and the explanation of who the princess was, though, right?
we had, oh, look, a rock.
Okay,
The
yay.
geologists were absolutely
That scene
useless,
was
also.
unnecessary, yes.
Oh my
I'll
God,
give
their
that.
whole plot point was utterly disposable.
Yeah.
No one would have missed if they were edited out of this entire film.
Well, maybe the scene where they found it and at first, gives the audience the view of the meteorite or the egg, whatever.
They could have just showed that on its own.
Yeah, putting people there ups the danger a little bit, although they didn't really touch on that.
Right, they did not touch on that at all. We didn't even know what happened to them in the end. They were
Yeah.
just, there, their tent blew away, and they're like, oh, it's flying away, and that was it. It flew up into the sky. We saw like a few frames of Ghidra, and then they cut to black, and we never see those geologists again.
Yeah. Now, just to put a bit of a point on how good the effects were, rubber suits aside, this was made in 64,
Right.
or released in 64, the year after Doctor Who premiered.
Wow.
We've seen early Doctor Who episodes. Now, granted, they probably had more of a budget for this, but it blows Doctor Who away.
Well, yeah, think about this. I mean, these made so much money that they made like one every couple every year or two,
Actually, there were two made the year that this was put out.
Yeah. That's how much money these things made, so of course they were going to put some money into it to try to dazzle a little bit.
Mothra versus Godzilla was had actually just finished production the same year.
Yeah, they probably just produced them all consecutively.
Yeah. It's like Stephen King novels, he finishes one, he starts the next. Now, at one point that when, after Ghidorah is born and, starts terrorizing, there's this sort of, public announcement that Ghidorah is attacking. How does the general public know who Ghidorah is if this is his first movie?
Well, there was. I only remember this because it cracked me the hell up. They were driving around with a loudspeaker, and it said the monster that just came from space has been identified as Ghidra.
Like, this is supposed to mean something to the public.
How would you identify this monster as something?
Well, no, the princess from Mars, if we go with that reference, did identify him. She gave us his backstory, saying, how we destroyed Mars and then came to Earth.
Okay, so that's how we identified it. Then, of course, that's the second part of the absurdity, though, is that we're supposed to know, oh, it's
General public is
Ghidra.
supposed to know who Ghidra is at this point, yeah. Like, it's this big warning that Ghidra is attacking. Now,
I
Godzilla
better.
and Mothra and Rodan are established, figures in this universe. The public in the movie, the Japanese public, they knew who they were.
Right.
But Ghidra is an unknown quantity. They've never heard of him before.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of those people who came to Earth and, evolved into humans, which they got into at one point and said, that's how some people can tell the future. Because that's all that's left of their superior Martian intellect.
Right, and never touched on it again.
Also, the Mothra song, and I keep going back to that musical number just because it completely confused me. The melody of the Mothra song is the same as the old Ricola commercials. The way they sing Mothra is the same as Ricola in those commercials.
That's why those commercials always annoy the hell out of me. Yeah, see, because I've seen Godzilla vs. Mothra, as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh, fuck.
I think I've seen that's the one I've seen them in before. There was a big bit on Monster Island, I think.
Yeah.
That's the one I've seen before, yeah. It's just weirdly amusing to me. And of course, now we have the four of them beating the shit out of each other, or actually three of them beating the shit out of Ghidorah. Had some
Yes.
very trippy effects when he was born. He's like this phoenix thing before he turns into a solid monster.
But my favorite, though, during the fight scenes, of course, are just the beaks to the head.
Yeah. I don't know, the kicking the rocks with his tail, I like. Because he has like no turning radius in that suit.
He has all of these powers, like the breath and the tail, and the claws, and the teeth. So what's he do? I'm gonna kick a rock at that motherfucker.
But I just liked how watching. I can't say I liked because I actually it was, like I said, the worst part of the movie for me. But it was just funny to see the guy in the suit trying to move in that suit. It was funny just to see him try to struggle to, try to make any movements.
Oh yeah, that's. Like I said, it's really the best part of this because of that. Just because it is just so awkward.
Yeah. And actually, I do remember the three translations of the discussion because I have in my notes, one of them says, "Ooh, Godzilla, what terrible language."
Language,
Forgot about it till I saw that in my notes.
yes. I almost brought that up when we were talking about the conversation, but I figured.
And at one point, it looked like Rodan was mounting Ghidorah.
Oh yeah,
Mounting with
totally.
air quotes.
Rodan completely owns Godzilla.
No, it looked like he was about to insert into Ghidorah.
Yeah, really though, Godzilla gets his ass kicked by Rodan.
Oh, yeah. Godzilla's kind of ineffectual.
Yeah.
It's really just Rodan and Ghidorah. I mean, Mothra kind of brings everything together and kind of gets them all on the same side, but
Yeah.
then he doesn't really do much during the fight because he's larval.
Yes.
It's really just Rodan beating the shit out of Ghidorah.
Yeah. And Godzilla taking the brunt.
Oh, incidentally, an early concept for Ghidorah had him with rainbow-colored wings and a purple body, with his three heads spitting fire from their mouths instead of lightning, which is used in the actual movie.
Wow, that would have been
So,
fantastic.
purple rainbow flames. That would have been really just the
They would have
perfect
called him
touch.
Gaydora.
All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes.
As am I. Although I have something in my notes that I'm not sure what I was talking about, because it was probably right before I fell asleep. There was something about the inspiration for the criminologist probably
Oh,
came from this movie.
the scientist who addresses the audience and explains the princess falling into other dimensions.
That's it,
Yeah, because
yes.
I thought the same thing now that you mentioned it. He reminded me of Krim.
O'Brien totally took that.
Yeah. All right, on to sequels and remakes.
This could have used some chin fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is actually the fifth film in the Godzilla series. Second produced in this year, along with Mothra vs. Godzilla, as I said. There were 13 in the original series, which ran from 54 to 75. 28 total Japanese movies. And
Wow.
so far, two American, the one with Raymond Burr, which we reviewed a while back, and of course the Roland Emmerich version.
Was really the Raymond Burr version American? Because wasn't it just Japanese footage with Raymond Burr scenes
They shot
intercut?
extra footage, so I think it counts as a separate movie.
That's pretty.
And there is one in production as we speak, so there will be a new Godzilla movie in the next couple of years sometime.
Oh, thank God.
Well, consider the last
Only if they put them in rubber suits
one.
will I
Actually,
be
from
happy
what I
about that.
understand, I think it is going to be a guy in a suit.
Yeah,
They're going
because
back to that because Emmerich's version failed so
I
spectacularly.
did not even bother with Emmerich. Well, because it's Emmerich, first of all.
Yeah,
And then second off, I mean, nobody wants to see good special effects in a Godzilla movie.
yeah. I watched it on Netflix some time ago. I think it was Netflix. It's amusing if you go into it expecting a bad movie.
Wasn't there a Godzilla versus King Kong? Was that not American?
I've never heard of that, actually.
I could have sworn there was. I hmm.
And of course, there's also Cloverfield, which officially was inspired by Godzilla. I also heard the
Yeah.
story that he could it was going to be a Godzilla movie, but Abrams couldn't get the rights. It's effectively a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
It's giant reptilian thing attacks New York. All right, so on to brains.
We skipped I think we skipped sequels and remakes. Well, we talked about re-sequels, didn't we? But I was thinking of a remake on this. Well, actually, not just a remake. I was
We've got
thinking,
coming, but
what's that?
we've got a whole reboot of the series, but a remake of this one specifically?
Well, not even that mu as much. I'd like to see a redubbing.
Oh yeah. I'd like to see that with a lot of these.
I'd like to see, like, John Goodman doing the voice of Godzilla.
Oh, okay, not even a serious redubbing.
Maybe like Samuel L. Jackson doing the voice of Mothra.
You just want that scene with the right actors. The
Yes,
exquisite combination.
yes. No translation, just having them talk in their regular voices. Couldn't you just see John Goodman yelling at Geiger, "This is what happens when you fuck a stranger up the ass!"
Actually, if you had some video editing software, I think you could probably do that on your own.
Probably, you're right.
Just get some the right clips and
You're about to enter a whole world of pain. Yeah.
A few clips from Pulp Fiction, for that.
Sheet. You're bringing the Rodan?
Ha. Maybe Hugh Grant as Mothra?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because you need someone, not badass for Mothra.
Who'd be Geiger, though?
Good question. Who's the kind of the ultimate badass? If you've already got Goodman and
Oh,
Jackson.
Hopkins, of course.
Oh, there we go. Yes, there you get some clips from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Wow, that's a zombie takeout movie project right there, isn't it?
And on a serious note, again, being an anime geek, in recent years, actually starting in the early 90s with Akira and Ghost in the Shell, the dubs of on a lot of anime got a lot better. And I'd like to see them do that with these movies. If you're gonna have dubbed versions out there, bring in decent actors and rewrite the scripts and do a good job with them.
This is a lot better though than other things I've seen though. I mean, I've seen, the Kung Fu and Samurai
Well,
movies where they were just hideous.
yeah. I'm trying to remember. I watched the subbed version of Zatoichi, yeah.
I can't even imagine what that was like.
No, it was subtitled.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't watch a dub on that one. I would have if I could have found it, but thankfully I watched the dub.
Yeah, I
So.
can't even imagine what a dubbed version of that is like. I think I've seen a couple parts where I was just like, ugh.
All right, so on to brains.
On to brains.
I don't know, I liked it overall. I kind of enjoyed the story. Yeah, it was comical at points, unintentionally, and really trippy. But I'm going for.
Whoa,
It is
wow.
kind of a seminal movie. It's the first time Godzilla is a hero. I definitely think people should see it.
And I am the exact opposite. There's 15 minutes of this movie worth watching, and an hour of my life I'm never getting back again.
Wow.
I think, I mean, at least Cockfighter had something interesting about it and weird.
Oh God, you're going lower than Cockfighter?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh damn.
This movie, I mean, what were they thinking trying to put a plot on this? We only really want to see the monsters beating the shit out of each other awkwardly. And to put a plot in there, and then to put a plot that had absolutely no meaning, that it didn't even wrap up or anything, was just an utter waste of time. It would have had the same as Cockfighter, except they lose points for bringing those fucking Mothra fairies back in. Rain and a half.
Okay. I think this is our second widest split, only topped by Postal, which was a 1 in 4.
And think about it. That's a brain, or a tenth of a brain per minute
Yeah.
worth watching.
Wow.
That's pretty generous.
All right, so what have we learned?
We learned the subplot of a monster movie is worse than the plot of a porn.
Oh, man. And I learned that it's no crime to practice demagoguery. So, until next week, when we'll be reviewing A Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you thought this was bad.
I was hoping for a palate cleanser. I forgot what we were doing next week.
Well, take a look at what's after that. But next week, it is Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Of course, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Tell people about it. And you'll also find the movie list, every movie we have reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. The next few are in order. I don't remember what's after Phantom of the Park, but I know it's something we've talked about.
Probably.
The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, leave it on the request form. I forgot to mention that this was a request. A while back, William Hewling asked us to review some tokusatsu, and I figured, why not go for the Battle Royale?
Yeah, I kind of wish we had taken them in order a bit, but you know.
And of course, the recommendations list. I wanted to put it on there.
No.
Surprisingly, you didn't like the Godzilla movie. That's a bit
I
of a
think
plot twist.
we were wise as kids to just tune in
For the
when the
monster
monster
fight.
showed up. When you saw them just talking, just flip around the channels a little more.
See, to me, this sort of stuff was why I watched cartoons. Which I think is why the rubber suits didn't impress me. It's better in animation where, it's just the imagination and the skill of the artist.
The rubber suits aren't for imp to be impressed. They're kind of
Yeah, it's the
a
B-movie
comic
factory.
thing, you
Yeah,
know? It's
I get that now.
yeah.
You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
There's something strange going on with that thing.
Through without losing my voice or coughing my head off.
Yeah, not bad.